Well, good Sunday morning to everyone. It is January 26th, the year is 2014. We are well into our first month of this new year. This morning for our News and Focus podcast on Sunday morning, I'm looking at an article written by Alex Newman, dated February 24th, 2014, and the title is Tea Party Youth Blast Debt. Subtitle, Taxation Without Representation. A group of liberty-minded young Americans known as Tea Party Youth unveiled a new campaign that, among other goals, is working to stop the federal government from foisting more and more debt onto the backs of future generations. Leaders from the organization even called for a constitutional amendment to stop the schemes, blasting the imposition of ballooning multi-trillion dollar burden on America's youth as being tantamount to taxation without representation. What a great introductory paragraph to really deal with the issues that are facing America in the year 2014 and all future years. I have a small lawn care business and get the opportunity to spend some time with a few young men. During this traveling from job site to job site, we were listening to Al Mohler's daily briefing. I commend it to you. He was making reference to an issue in the state of Massachusetts in which a federal judge ruled that a sex change operation was a constitutional right of a prisoner and that the state of Massachusetts should, in fact, pay for that sex change operation. I bring that to your attention because I believe that it speaks to the issue of taxation without representation. The young man in the vehicle with me asked the important question, at what point must we continue to obey the laws of the land and pay our taxes when we do not support what the government is doing with that money? And therein lies the issue. That's the issue. Some point in the future of America, should it continue to exist as a nation state, the haves and the have-nots are no longer going to get along. When there are more people collecting than working, there's going to become a problem. When the taxes that I pay go towards sex change operations, abortions, and payments to people who are able-bodied individuals but are too blank lazy to work, someone eventually is going to say enough is enough. And not paying your taxes will not be an option. And so I envision a time in the nation's future in which we can anticipate an internal conflict that could, in fact, be armed. Fighting against what the young Americans call ageism, that is ageism, apparently referring to government discrimination based on age. The campaign by the young youth-oriented activist is being called Age Agenda 8. While broadly focused on a number of issues impacting youth, federal borrowing and spending policies are among the chief concerns. According to Age Agenda 8 platform, the nonpartisan campaign is founded on several key demands. First of all, Washington, D.C. budget allocations should not unjustly redistribute wealth from the young to the old. Now, there is an interesting point, and we need to talk about that. Let me read it to you again. Should not unjustly redistribute wealth from the young to the old. This young organization, young both in its entity or existence and young in the perspective of young people bringing this to our attention, are suggesting that because we are redistributing wealth that is in fact borrowed, that what we're doing is we're borrowing it from future generations. You see, these young people have anticipated wealth. They do not have wealth presently. They have potential wealth. And somehow, in Washington, D.C., we keep kicking the can down the road and counting on the fact that in the future, the economy is going to rebound, and in the rebound, a huge tax revenue will be created sufficient to pay down the tremendous debt that is presently saddling the economy. The federal budget, reading again from the article, should be limited. The deficit replaced by a surplus, and the surplus used to eliminate the national debt in order to stop unfairly burdening future generations with debt from prior generations' spending. Clauses or amendments should be included or attached respectively to every House and Senate bill in order to prevent taxation without representation. Now, while I wholeheartedly agree with the premise of this article, I hold virtually no hope in the reality that the solid, pragmatic policies contained in this article will in fact be enacted by the present day Congress. Why would they do that? Why would the Democrats alienate the very electorate that put them in office by reducing the amount of spending on entitlements? Why would the Republicans alienate the voters and the more important lobbyist organizations that fund their campaigns by reducing defense spending? Why in the world would any of this happen when you go into office as a representative, as a normal person in many regards, fiscally, and you leave office as a millionaire? Study the numbers and you'll find what I'm telling you to be absolutely true. Taxation without representation is so important to the young Tea Party activists that they believe a constitutional amendment is needed. Absolutely. A constitutional amendment is clearly needed. But consider for a moment the number of states in this United States that are in fact in debt, and they rely upon a federal government to bail them out with handouts. Why in the world would they bite the hand that is feeding them? Only until a supermajority of states are fiscally sound enough to stand on their own two feet from a financial perspective is there any hope that a constitutional amendment would be created that would limit the spending that the House of Representatives, in fact, authorizes year after year. Do you understand what I'm telling you? As long as the states are, in fact, dependent upon the federal government to print more money and borrow more money, why in the world would they ever support a constitutional amendment that would stop the water flowing from the fountain that they drink from? As the New American reported this week, the Obama administration is demanding that Congress raise the debt ceiling one more time. When will it end? Adding an even more crushing burden, some $17 trillion and counting, on the backs of future generations. Before becoming president, however, even Obama recognized the inherent injustice in such plans. Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today onto the backs of our children and grandchildren, he said in the year 2006. Folks, that was 8 years ago. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership. Americans deserve better. Dear Mr. President, you have had nearly 6 years to fix the problem. Given 2.5 more years left in office, please do something about it. Tea Party youth leaders also told the New American that they were joining forces on the effort to rein in the disastrous anti-youth policies with certain leaders and members of the non-ideological National Youth Rights Association. In comments to the New American, Jeff, a board member of the NYRA, who opposes the ballooning debt burden being foisted upon America's youth, lambasted current policies. Our legislators have proven time and time again their unwillingness to protect the future financial interests of younger Americans. That's because they don't care. And the only solution is to vote the bums out of office and then pray. Vote the bums out of office. We need to clean house. Those are my thoughts. Thanks for listening.